Well, today is the first half of a two-part sermon. Nobody's screamed yet. Something, though, I've guardedly done less than a handful of times over my 37 years of ordained life. But I'm doing it today and next Sunday for a good reason. Everyone's right and need to be familiar with the heart of our identity as Christians, the Eucharist. Many of us have received communion most of our lives and are familiar with what I'm going to be saying, particularly in a congregation as theologically astute as St. John's. But years of parish ministry have taught me that assuming can be tricky. They're inevitably folks who have only recently joined us or who haven't had access to much prior information about Anglicanism. Plus, like many churchy things, there's often not a lot of nitty-gritty shared about what and why, about our what and why. Through ritual actions going back centuries, the priest follows Jesus' command, and I quote, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." And we faithfully obey this central mystery of the Christian faith, a mystery with a capital M, because it's ultimately beyond comprehension. But there are many things that we can understand. And so today and next Sunday, which actually continues today's gospel, they're really one of a chord, they just flow together, I want to look with you at the essence of our faith. First thing I want to look at today is the Eucharist. And the Eucharist specifically, actually not the Eucharist, but the fact that the Eucharist is one of our seven sacraments. Now, when I was a Roman Catholic, sandwiched in between an Episcopal childhood and a totally loved and embraced Anglican adulthood, a little bit like an Oreo cookie, you know, with the RC part in the middle and the good chocolatey stuff on both sides, I was taught that a sacrament is, and I quote, "an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace." We had to be able to parrot that back to the good priestly teacher without much explanation. And I deserved better. And maybe you were one of those people who were taught that. You did too. And it's just not complicated. A sacrament, what we're looking at today, is a sign, you know? Something that expresses something too deep and something too beautiful for mere words. Like love, for instance. How do you get across to someone that you love them? You can tell them, sure, you could use words. But actions, as my good mother used to say, and maybe yours did too, you say it with me, actions speak louder than words. You must have known my mother. We're physical beings with real physical flesh, needing tangible physical objects we can see, taste, and touch. That's why God came to us as the bodily Jesus, and not a Valentine's Day card. We need to involve our senses if we're really going to get something, and sacraments are physical signs, things we use, and we do every single day, that accomplish just that. For instance, a hug, a kiss, a caress, giving our beloved that all-important morning cup of coffee, as mine did this morning, actively and really listening to another's spoken words, standing fast and firm in sickness and in health. Acts of love tangibly shown and given. You know what I mean, because you do it all the time. You use sacraments, and so does God. The divine's loving presence is actually everywhere we look, particularly in the ordinary things we often overlook. Every divinely created thing is a sacrament and a sign of God. That's not what I was taught. I was taught that the God was symbolized most and really rather exclusively in that bread and wine consecrated. But everything in nature is a sacrament and sign of God, as each one offers us a different kind of glimpse of the preciousness and mystery of life. A flower in bloom, a walk along the beach, making love, a friend visiting us when we're sick, a beautiful and magnificent whale breaching in the sea. You see, the entire physical world is an altar of God. An altar of God where the Holy reaches out to us with love too deep for mere words. Where God communicates, does more than that, communions with us in tangible, physical ways. The Holy One, contrary to what I was taught, and probably you too, the Holy One is everywhere, not just in a church building, or a synagogue, or a temple, or a mosque, or... And the Holy One is in everything, and Christ is the name for that transcendent within and beyond the cosmos itself. When you look at a flower, when you look at a cat, a dog in the face, you're seeing an incarnation, an enfleshment of the Christ. When you look at a honeybee, when you see a marvelous eagle soaring high above, or you see another person, or you look at a rock, you see the embodiment of divine love inviting you to fall more and more in love with God's very good creation. I should note, and it's really important, this is not pantheism. The idea that God is that tree, is this bouquet of flowers, is Sandy the dog. It's called panentheism. I won't try to spell it. But panentheism is very different from pantheism. Rather than saying God is that tree, panentheism says God is in that tree and in those flowers and in the stars above and in the person sitting next to you and infinitely beyond any of those things. Nothing is profane. Nothing is quote unquote non-spiritual. Nothing is pagan or foreign, as all created things are the handiwork and the expression of heaven. It's funny, we Christians seem to have so very little understanding or awareness of that. I think we just haven't been told, because our Jewish brothers and sisters have always known this. According to their holy book, the Talmud, every blade of grass has its own angel bending over it, whispering, "Grow, grow." Did you hear me? And there's a wonderful saying attributed to Jesus that expresses this very same reality of God's everywhereness. "Lift up the stone, and there you shall find me. Cleave the wood, and I am there." To our profound loss and spiritual impoverishment, most of Western Christianity, unlike the world's Eastern Orthodox churches, has forgotten this originally understood sacred connection of spirit and physical world. Though increasing numbers of clergy and laity, myself included, we're peddling as fast as we can to restore this awareness of reality. And our perception of it and our enrichment by it depends only on the receptiveness and openness of our hearts. Creation itself proclaims the glory of God, and the church continues this revelation of loving sacredness through its seven official sacraments, written using a capital S. The sacrament we'll particularly look at next week is that of the Eucharist, instituted by Jesus himself the night before his crucifixion. As with all sacraments, in this entity, God gives God's self via tangible material things, coming to and even, this is mind-blowing, thank God we can't comprehend it, we would go, coming to and even into us as delicious bread and as fragrant wine. Through the renewing and life-giving waters of baptism, our origin and our human identity is proclaimed for all to hear, beloved children of God, made worthy, as one Eucharistic prayer says, to stand before the Holy One himself. In the sacrament of reconciliation, which we used to call confession, we're told there's nothing that can separate us from God's love and compassionate forgiveness. With the blessed oil of the sacrament of confirmation, which many of us have received, we renew our baptismal promises and receive extra grace to continue life as followers of Jesus. With the oil of anointing, and that oil can be received from such a need as you're in hospital, you have a broken arm, you're depressed, anything that works against God's will for our wholeness. With that blessed oil of the sacrament of anointing, the sick and the dying, those who are suffering, are assured of ultimate healing and transformation. With the oil of ordination, individuals are called and empowered to serve God's people through the church and its sacraments, and through the shared rings, clasping of hands, and vows of matrimony. Two persons are joined together to become one flesh. So, sacraments, capital S. We celebrate and share in this place sacraments, signs of sacredness, and pointers from Jesus to God's love and presence. But there are more than just the big ones. And this is where we really don't tend to be alert to. The small S sacraments, creation's own outward and visible signs of God. Painters know this. Photographers, like you, Terry, know this. Writers of poetry, composers of music, all these people like us who understand that, that love and God comes in all shapes and sizes, these sacraments are everywhere around us. The sea, the sky. Episcopal priest, teacher, and author Barbara Brown Taylor describes, I think in a way that few could, this all-pervading sacredness. Let me read what she says. It's very short. Earth is so thick with divine possibility that it's a wonder we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on altars. I'm going to read that again. It's early in the morning. Earth is so thick with divine possibility that it is a wonder we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on altars. For us as Anglicans and for other members of what's called sacramental churches, like the Orthodox and the Roman Catholic, we have the gift of both, natural sacraments and supernatural. Almost finished. Next Sunday, we'll look at the Eucharist more closely, our heart and ongoing touchstone of the Christian spiritual journey. As Roman Catholic priest and mystic Richard Rohr describes it, the Eucharist is, and I quote, a place to which we must repeatedly return in order to find our face, our name, our absolute identity, who we are in Christ, and thus who we are forever. We must keep eating and drinking the mystery until one day it dawns on us in an undefended moment, my God, I really am what I eat. I, too, am the body of Christ. And I express this truth each time I lift the consecrated bread and wine by repeating St. Augustine's words, behold what you are. Become more and more what you already see. The gifts of God for the people of God, which is every human being on the face of this earth. Amen.